and you're tuned to Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org, and hopefully we have Ron Anisich on the line. You there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, we're back in business here. Just heard from SWAT, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and as I said, I have Ron Anisich here on the line from Bad Cop No Donut and CKLN in Toronto, Canada. He does the weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption every Thursday. And I believe your show's at 6 a.m. in the morning. Is that correct?
It's actually on closer to 6:30, but it's part of a hour-long program that starts at 6.
What's the program called?
The program is called Rude Awakening. It's CKLN's morning news program, which I host on Thursdays.
And you've been coming under fire. We did an interview last week about the police chief, outgoing police chief, who just took offense to your show, supposedly, or mainly your email address, ihatepigs@hotmail.com.
Well, it turns out that, I'm not really sure if it was the chief or the media that was focusing on the email address. It seemed like the media seemed to really latch on to that as a source of trouble, which is what we expected. You'll remember I told you last week I'd made the decision to change it before any of the media reported a thing. And oddly enough, they all knew about the change before they went ahead with their either articles or stories. And
not
good.
Well,
not good. there were some tense moments for everybody up here. We were not sure how it was going to work out. When I spoke with you last week, I wasn't even aware of what the chief said. And you asked me at the time if he had been calling for the show to be taken off the air, and I told you I didn't know. Now I can tell you that yes, he does. He does want to take it off of the air.
Still, even though his last day was yesterday.
Yeah. Well,
seems like he'd be out fishing somewhere or doing something, retiring.
Well, I guess all the friendly press you can get on your last week on the job. He's gotten himself quite a good promotion. He's the head of the he's now the head of emergency management for the entire province.
Really? What's that mean? Like is that like Homeland Security or something?
It's sort of like that, but in Canada, it's much more likely to be a natural disaster, like an ice storm or a flood or that kind of thing. Let's just say, though, that knowing that Mr. Fantino is on this job does not make me feel filled with safe thoughts.
Do they have a new chief in place yet?
No, the new chief will not be in place for a couple months, is what they're saying.
So,
and there's going to be the usual political battle over who the replacement is. I just hope it's somebody with a little more common sense.
So it's been a week, and let me know what's the fallout of all this. Obviously, Chief Fantino came down on you because of your show Bad Cop No Donut, saying evidently because of the email that...
Well, he says it's hate-mongering.
Right.
I'm not sure. This is the thing. I never heard him say that it had anything to do with the email address.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure it's the media who have latched onto that. And, because I can see how people would be offended by it. I assume that they see that as well and kind of chose to drill that home. I mean, you've heard some of the interviews that I had to do with people in the mainstream media.
Yeah, we're going to play some of that just so folks can get a taste.
And they really
it.
Harped on the email address. One guy who was on the, I'll hesitate to use the word progressive, but the slightly left of extreme right.
Your NPR over
publicly
there?
Funded radio network in Canada, the CBC. I expected that they were going to be a soft touch, but they really gave me a bit of a difficult time.
You also did two interviews on AM 640, is that right?
Yeah. 640 News was funny. I was literally ambushed by the former head of the Toronto Police Union. They didn't tell me beforehand that he was going to be involved in the program at all. And it's ironic. The guy these days is a talk show, is one of these, conservative talk show hosts. I know you have them in America. I've heard of a few of them. He's one of these guys, and not only is he a talk show host, but he, as a former police officer, he was his record was not stellar. While he's never been found guilty of committing a crime, he has been the defendant in lawsuits.
What we're talking about is Craig
Bromell.
Bromell, that's right.
Bromell.
He was on the show, which, of course, they did not tell you.
No, they did not tell me.
He was going to be on the show.
And he was one of six people who were a defendant very recently in a trial by a man who was taken down to a place in Toronto that they called Cherry Beach by six cops and had the crap beat out of him.
Hmm.
Now, this guy took the six police officers, which included Craig Bromell, to court. And the evidence that was presented in the trial was damning. It was conclusive. There was DNA evidence, chunks of the man's hair that was found on police equipment belonging to the officers. He was looking at winning his case, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And what the police did is they settled out of court for, I don't remember what the number was, but it was over $1 million.
You've reported
this cop that I get attacked with on the radio is a cop that the taxpayers of Toronto have had to, you know, pay out millions of dollars for to settle the various claims against him.
Right.
So while I can't tell you that Craig Bromell beat the crap out of a guy because they never admitted guilt to that, I mean I can allow you to draw your own conclusions. I would suggest that they wouldn't be paying out $1 million if he was innocent.
Let's take a little listen to the ambush here.
Okay.
This is about 2 minutes into the program, and right when they reveal him.
You can literally hear the exasperation in my voice.
All right, hang on. Here we go. We're going to check it out. This is from AM 640, the John Oakley show, I believe.
Yeah.
640 AM. Here we go. We're going to listen to a little bit of this.
All right, listen, I don't mind, or I hope you don't mind that Craig Bromell, who co-hosts The Beat, the show on after mine. Well, no, because, I mean, you know, we're all about fair and balanced, aren't we? You're a journalist. Are you a journalist, by the way?
Yeah.
If you're a journalist, then where is the balance?
CKLN has a very specific mandate to provide voices that aren't heard in the mainstream media. It's my personal opinion, I'm sure you'd agree, that the police are usually dealt with in a pretty favorable way in the media.
All right, let's get Craig in here. Craig, you've been listening. I mean, you're smirking here. Are you dismissing everything he has to say?
I just want to know, is it Ron?
Yeah,
sorry, Ron. I couldn't remember your name there. How are you doing? I just want to, do you know how many police officers are actually in North America? Like, how many are in Canada and how many are in the States?
Well, I know there's around 7,000 in Toronto. I mean, I know about the ones around me, I guess.
There's about 60,000 in Canada and about 250,000 in the States.
Yes.
And you do hear these stories, but when you talk epidemic, are you really giving it a fair chance there? I mean, do you know in Toronto alone that they have 5 million contacts with the public every year?
Yeah.
And the amount of complaints that come out is so minuscule. Do you really think you're giving them a fair chance by, like,
raising a few issues. First of all, there's the issue of the complaints process itself. A lot of people don't make complaints to the police because they are.
How do you know that, though? How do you know that? Like, how many people do you talk to about that?
I talk to people about that an awful lot lately.
Well, like, how many?
I've gotten dozens of emails in the last 2 days where people are describing.
Okay, that's fair.
Are describing these kinds of things.
And what are they describing?
They're expressing their support of the work I'm doing, but they're also relating to me their personal experiences.
Can you give us
their,
one
interactions
two?
With the police?
I'm just trying to put in my head here.
I don't hate all police officers. I realize there are a lot of good police officers out there, but I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a good police officer, then I don't like cops who commit crimes either.
All right, but listen, you know, you use the operative word hate, and your own website is ihatepigs.com.
That is the former email address of the show, and I think that...
When did that stop, by the way?
What's that?
When did you stop that particular email address?
Shortly before I realized that the show was going to be coming to the attention of a much larger audience.
Within the last week then, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. A couple of days ago, maybe?
Within the past week.
All right, but you see, I mean, the sentiment still stands. IHatePigs.com. Well, you're telegraphed your hand here.
You know, John, you have friends that have email addresses that are a little odd, and if you took them seriously.
Well, all right, so when the chief's making this case that this is hate mongering, you've just lent credence to his argument.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm saying it's an email address, and that if he listens to the show, he'll hear that it's not hate mongering. He's focusing on an email address, which I agree, it's an unnecessary source of attention, and it takes away from the message of the show, which is why I've decided to change it.
All right, because I know you're all also in other markets at campus stations and whatever else. Did you want any parting words, Craig? Or I mean, let me just say, you and I have spoken on this one, and I think the chief was wrong to respond to it in the fashion he did. Otherwise, we would not be talking to Ron Anisich right now.
I agree 100%.
No, my comment yesterday on this was I think freedom of speech, I don't think it should be taken off, but I think you have to have your facts straight, Ron, and I think you have to give positive with negative. That's my issue here, is that there's so much good work being done out there, a vast majority of what, other than what you're being reported, and you take Toronto for an example, 5 million contacts a year and less than 500 complaints. Those are pretty good numbers, you have to admit that.
I've got Ron, I got to let you go, but I think you're preaching to the converted, but nonetheless.
yeah, I agree.
Well, okay. I appreciate your time this morning.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, there you Ron. Go. Ron Anisich, by the way, not a student at Ryerson, but for 15 years he's been there. He considers himself a journalist, and that might draw into question the balance or lack thereof. I know, Craig, that's what you've been carping on. You'll be talking about that and more, of course, tomorrow on the beat. Chief Fantino, this is going to be his swan song interview, and you guys will have that between 10 and 11.
Absolutely, yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Here at All right, you're tuned to Freak Radio Santa Cruz. Ron, you still there?
Yeah, there's a couple things that I'd like to say about that.
Go for it.
One is that Craig Bermell hosts his own show about the police on that same station, all right? And he's telling me that I'm biased and one-sided, and I'm not taking all the facts into consideration. But if you've ever heard his program, which I have not, but I've heard it described by others who work at that radio station as a cop love fest. Now, if this is the guy who's telling me that I'm not telling both sides of the story. I just find that ironic. And to come from a cop that I would personally characterize as a corrupt one, that whole thing was amazing.
Well, he tells you to get your facts straight when you get most of the facts from the mainstream media.
Yeah, like no, he didn't mention a single fact that I got wrong. His problem is that I describe police abuse as an epidemic, and that's based on, you know, the incredible volume of information that I can dig up each week.
That's amazing. That's
got
amazing.
A bit of a different point of view than I have.
Well, those AM stations are reckless for doing stuff like that, you know.
And the other thing about that was when he's like, you know, insisting that we have to be fair and balanced. But, you know, there are a lot of journalists and insinuating that I might not be an actual journalist, you know. A journalist who is interested in doing work that is fair does not ambush you with a former corrupt police officer in the middle of an interview without telling you about it. That doesn't fall under the category of fairness, in my opinion. But
so Craig Browell, he does a program on
Craig Bromell.
Bromell,
yeah.
Bromell, B-R-O-M-E-L-L, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that station online? It'd be interesting to listen.
I'm not sure, but I wouldn't really recommend listening to it.
Just for kicks, you know?
Sorry?
Just for kicks.
I don't listen to that radio station myself.
Right.
I tried listening to it for 5 minutes once when they had Mike Rupert on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really don't like him. That's another story. But,
mm-hmm.
I could only listen to it for 5 minutes. At the time, they had gone for this Radio for Men format. I don't know if you had that in the United States. I know you have the TV.
Uh-huh.
But
we have our local KSCO 1180 is kind of a lot like that station. And
yeah.
For a while, they tried to reach out to the Santa Cruz people, like having this progressive hour. And they actually recruited a couple of our DJs to go over there and do shows, and they just got harangued by the audience. And they're treated like shit there in the studio, by all the people there. And they end up, you know, cashing them. Even a former city council mayor did a show for a while, and they ended up kicking him off. It's pretty funny. It was really interesting.
Yeah, it's funny how those people work. They don't like to hear, they talk about fair and balanced. I mean, I'm talking to somebody who lives in the land of Fox News. They probably don't have to explain this, but they might say fair and balanced, but that's not always what you get.
Well, speaking of your show, Bad Cop, No Donut, I'm looking at the website now, and you got news from February 28th. You got a lot of updates, and I was kind of curious, how do you go about gathering the news, the stories?
There are two or three ways. One is that I visit websites that deal with these kinds of stories. There are a few of them out there. The people who, I know you know the people who do Slave Revolt Radio.
Yeah.
They have a website that documents police abuse cases, for example. There's a Yahoo group that I'm a member of that documents those kinds of cases. And I spend a lot of time doing research. The majority of the time I spend preparing the show every week is just finding the articles. Mostly it's through keyword searches.
I mean, you got tons of stories. You got King City, which is right here in California. First story about a sheriff's deputy accused of protecting a prostitution ring.
Oh, that's actually King County.
King County.
That's around Seattle.
I got it mistook. But I'm just going through Anaheim, Springfield.
Yeah, it's amazing how much news there is out there. I don't even, every week when I'm putting the show together, I really literally don't know where to start.
Cop that shot a guy throwing a rock at him after he tried to taser on him.
That'll happen. You know, it's my point of view, Bob, that, the police kill people pretty frequently. And it's just my opinion that there's always a better way to deal with a problem than killing a guy or a person.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're being attacked with a guy with a rock, if you're, half a dozen guys with guns, I don't see why you wouldn't be able to deal with that situation in a manner that didn't end up with somebody being dead. It just seems to me that all too often the police use a series of excuses for using lethal force.
Right.
I've noticed lately it's, they were in their car and they backed up and drove into the car. Well, there's no real way to prove something like that did or didn't happen. I would suggest to you that this is a cover for something much more sinister. I'm not basing this on any specific facts. I can think of individual cases here in Toronto where the cops claimed to have been being attacked, and the story that they used to justify their killing just didn't add up in the end. There's a kid named Jeffrey Riotica who was killed by police up here in Toronto not too long ago, just this year, and they said he had a knife or he had a rock or in the end, there wasn't a weapon found. And all the witnesses to the event strongly dispute the police version of what happened. And in fact, these things happen all the time. On the very day, Bob, when I was on the front page of the largest newspaper in Canada, If you search back in the B section of the paper towards the back of it,
Toronto Star, right?
There's two articles. One is about a 37-year-old Nigerian man who somehow, they aren't saying how, ended up dead after a confrontation with the police the night before, and another cop another Toronto police officer who was up on 13 charges, including assault, sexual assault, pointing a firearm at all in relation to a female, alleged female victim. And because the case took too long to come to court, they dropped all the charges against the police officer over a legal technicality. Now, these two stories are in the exact same paper that I'm in, except they're buried in the back of the paper, and the fact that I'm an alleged hate monger and the chief doesn't like me is somehow front page news.
It should have been connected. It should, by the way,
Well, You know what I said to another guy who I did an interview with last week. He suggested that, well, so you're saying the police killing should be on the front page, and you should be on page, you know, J12. And I'm like, you know, I don't think I should be there at all. I don't get why I'm news exactly. You know, is it so shocking? Is the concept of journalism so foreign to people in the mainstream media that some guy doing it at 6 in the morning on a 250-watt radio station is actually news? I don't know. I'm kind of confused about a lot of what's happened.
The interesting fact that I found listening to some of these interviews, and we're not going to be able to play all of them, but that I heard was that when you report these, like especially killings or beatings or whatever, they're all reported in local newspapers, and so the whole...
Everything that I say on the show comes from a mainstream media news source.
But from a local, like a local paper, so it's not in LA.
Well, very often they're only reported as local cases. Like, do you remember we did a whole hour-long show earlier this month about a guy in a police officer in Wisconsin named Daniel Wineski?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Trempealeau County, Wisconsin, that was not covered in any newspaper that I'm aware of. So people outside of Whitehall, Wisconsin, don't know about a cop who violated, sexually assaulted women for 30 years, untold number of victims. And it was only covered in the local papers. To me, that sounds like a huge story.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently the media doesn't see it the same way.
And basically what you do is you gather up those stories and you read them all in sometimes 15 minutes.
It's important to me that people make the connections, Bob. It's important to me that people know that what happens in their town, you know, the same thing's going on in some other town not all that far, and you don't always know about it.
Exactly.
I think that when people know, then it's very hard to say it's a bad apple. If
right.
you know that there's a cop doing that across the state or a couple states over, then it makes you think twice about that.
Well, it's like, you know, when the mainstream media reports on a killing or something, they're only getting their stories from the police. Very few independent, you know, journalists. Like here in town, there was a guy that got shot, Happy John Dine. He was kind of a hippie guy. He had mental problems. You know, he's in tie-dye, he used to rush around, he had a radio, he used to dance around, he always had a little toy water gun with him, a pink one. And one night, some cops pulled him over, and I guess, supposedly, they say he was doing a combat stance, and they gunned him down and killed him.
I read about that. I heard that the toy water pistol was in his backpack, and the cops took it out and put it next to him after they shot him.
Yeah, it was.
Is that true?
We don't know. Nothing was really clear. A lot of the people, was totally clear because it was a dark night, and he was the only one there at the bus stop. There were a few witnesses. I don't know exactly the whole story. One of our programmers was there, and he was able to record some of the people right there talking about what happened. And he was just like right there, and he just recorded everybody in the crowd. And didn't come at him with these cameras and lights and, you know, putting people, you know, he's able to cover a story from a whole different angle in an independent way.
Yeah, I believe I read that in one of the newspapers that guy, John
Dine, yeah.
The cop shot him after he had only been out of the police car for a matter of seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it all went down really quickly.
Connor Carey was the officer. His partner was Officer Over, mm-hmm. who they used to frequently hassle me quite a few times for following around and trying to get stories and stuff. But I happened to be out of town on that day. I was in Seattle. But, it's interesting what's going on.
Yeah, it never ceases to amaze me what they, the stories they... Yeah, it's hard to know what the truth is with a lot of these stories.
So tell me, is Bad Cop No Donut going to continue, or are you going
to
have a
show?
Yeah,
contrary to some of the reports that I read in some of the newspapers up here, I'm not actually planning on toning down the content of the show at all. The only change is going to be the email address. That's it.
You probably have more listeners, I'm sure.
Well, I'll have more listeners, and I've been, as you know already, I've been working at expanding the show a little bit lately to include... some interviews and mm-hmm. some reports from other community broadcasters in the program.
Right.
I'm pretty happy with how that's been going, but I'm definitely going to be going ahead with that now.
That's great.
One thing that I'm going to be doing a little bit differently is I'm going to be attributing the stories more carefully. I think that it wasn't as obvious as I would like it to be to people that all of these stories have been already reported in the mainstream press. So I'm going to be a little more careful about, you know, telling people where the stories come from in some cases. One in some cases, these stories have already been reported by multiple news organizations already, so it's not such a big deal.
One of my favorite parts is always the song that you play at the end.
It's always what?
The song? The songs?
Yeah, the song's going to stay.
Good.
I think, you know, it's funny about the song. Some of the American broadcasters have some trouble playing the song. I guess with your new FCC regulations, they're, you know, a little worried about having to take a $500,000 hit because, you know, Ice-T, some actor who plays a cop on television, uses the F word in a song or whatever.
Yeah.
So some of the American broadcasters already don't play the song.
Well, I've done shows, and I'm sure you have, all cop songs.
I've done a show none that positive. Lasted 8 hours recently of all cop songs.
And they're, none of them are positive. I mean, there may be a few that, you know, people were paid to write, but most of them are all rock, punk, or something like that. And against the system.
Yeah, they're not, I mean, it's, the police have been, I hate to use a word like counterculture, but whatever you call it, the more progressive people have, it's been a subject that's come up in music quite a bit over the years. I guess, you know, everything from, like, I guess starting with the protest singer-songwriters in the 60s to, you know, Anti-Flag and some of the bands that are kicking around today. There's a lot of music about that deals with the police, that's for sure.
Well, hey, Ron, we're going to have to wrap it up here.
Well, I just wanted to say before we go that I wanted to thank you personally and everyone else at Free Radio Santa Cruz for all the help I've had through this. The support has been tremendous, and it's been a really big help at a time when, you know, let's face it, I'm being attacked by the PR apparatus of the biggest police department in the country. It's been trying at times, but knowing that there are people out there that are really supportive, like yourself, and people who have emailed me in response to all this, it's been a real help, and it's really really helped to keep my strength up through what was a pretty trying time. And it was for all of us at CKLN. It was a difficult period.
Well, it's good to hear that you're going to continue with the show, because I know there's a lot of people in Santa Cruz here and a lot of our own FRSC programmers in solidarity with you. Definitely.
I appreciate that a great deal.
Okay, well, we're going to go out actually with a positive song called I Really Like the Cops by Desert Rat.
This is one of my favorite songs right now, Bob. I love this song.
I have heard some people make some very degrading comments about the cops recently, and I personally believe that people should refrain from making degrading comments about the cops, because the cops have a very difficult job, and they do it very well with great pride and integrity. And therefore, I wrote a song in support of the cops, and it goes like this. Come and gather round, you people, now, and listen to me yak. All you doctors and you lawyers and you folks who push the crack, and all you folks who push the buttons and you folks who push the mops, come listen while I tell you how I really like the cops. Oh, I really like the cops. I think they're pretty cool. I like them in my neighborhood. I like them in my school. I think the cops are wonderful. I think the cops are nice. And I like to have a broken jaw and carry a pack of ice. I really like the cops. I think they're pretty neat. I like it when they take my face and smash it on the street, and then they drag me to a station and they lock me in a room, and then I like it when they rape me up the anus with a broom. I really like the cops, they make me want to sing. You know my favorite movie is that tape of Rodney King, and so I really get pissed off whenever somebody like you suggests we should subject the cops to citizens review. I really like the cops, I am so glad that they're around to hassle me and ticket me for sitting on the ground. I really love the cops, I'd be so sad if they were gone. There's something about a uniform that always turns me on. Yeah, I really like the cops so much, folks, that I don't think you should find out the number of your local cop watch group. And if there is no cop watch group in your town, that's good. I don't think you should start one. And if you're walking down the street and you see somebody getting hassled by the cops, I don't think you should stop and see what happens. I think you should just walk on by, because that person must deserve everything they get for not looking rich enough for the cops to leave them alone. And if you're with a group of people and the cops start picking on one of you, I don't think you should stick up for that person at all. I think you should just let the police physically and psychologically isolate your companion. And I don't think you should carry one of those little disposable drugstore cameras on your person at all times to document police brutality with when you see it. And I don't think your town should have a civilian review board to investigate citizen complaints against cops. And if you do have a board like that, then I think it should just be a rubber stamp committee that approves of everything the cops do. And if there's a cop in your town who makes a regular habit of beating up unarmed people, or raping women at gunpoint, or raping men at gunpoint, or killing people for an adrenaline rush because he is a psychopath, then I think that he should not be fired. And if he is fired, then that is definitely punishment enough for him, and he should not be prosecuted. And I most definitely do not think that you should put his name and his address and his telephone number and his list of crimes on a flyer and post that flyer all over town. And I don't think you should go to his neighborhood and talk to all his neighbors like people do when a convicted sex offender moves into a neighborhood and let them know what he has done. And I don't think that you should egg his house or slash his tires or run him out of town. And I don't think that when he applies for a job on the police force in the next town over the hill, I don't think you should go to that town too and do the same thing and make sure that he never works as a police officer again. I don't think you should do any of this, because your town has the best police department in the world. Oh yes, I really like the cops, just to see 'em gets me high. I hope that I get taken into custody and die, and then I hope that every fact that's in the coroner's report gets chucked into a dumpster so it won't be heard in court. A-yoodle-ay, a-yoodle-oo, a-yoodle-ay, a-yoodle-oo, a-yoodle-ay, a-yoodle-oo. I love those boys in blue. And when I hear you making statements that you know are quite obscene, like how the cops are nasty and like how the cops are mean, it makes me want to tell you that you ought to get some class and help your local officers by kicking your own ass. So come gather round you people now and listen to me yak, all you doctors and your lawyers and your folks who push the crack and all your folks who push the buttons and your folks who push the mops. Come listen while I tell you how I really like the cops.